Hello, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. Our first story today from the commercial news is titled, Zoning Commission Meets This Week. And this is a story by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. The Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission has two items on its March meeting agenda this week, a two-family dwelling and zoning ordinance change. The Commission meets virtually at 5:15 p.m. on Thursday. The Commission will consider a special use permit requested by Greg Excavating and Hauling, LLC of Williamsport, Indiana, to allow a two-family dwelling at 1812 East Main Street in Danville. Current zoning for the vacant property is for a single-family home, R2. Proposed use, according to the special use permit application, is a dual family rental or duplex. City staff feels that a special use designation for this duplex is acceptable. This duplex will be located on a large parcel of land and in close proximity to other duplexes. We do not feel that there will be an adverse impact caused by this change or by the intended use, according to city staff. Also Thursday, the Commission will consider a zoning ordinance amendment requested by the City's Zoning Administrator, Logan Kronk. The amendment is to allow for conforming non-residential uses identification signage on each lot frontage. The Commission's last meeting was in November, when it recommended approving a rezoning petition to bring the signage into conformity for the dwelling place of Vermilion County, located inside the First Presbyterian Church. The Danville City Council then officially approved the rezoning for the dwelling place signage at First Presbyterian Church at 100 North Franklin Street in Danville. Some neighbors were concerned about what could be housed at the property if the church didn't exist anymore. Our next story is Interactive Adventure. Escape Room Opens in Downtown Danville by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. The popularity of escape rooms hasn't really died down since they started booming a few years ago. Now, local residents don't have to go to a larger city to partake in the adventure game. Owners Andrew Dudich and Rachel Anderson have opened Adventure Arcade Escape Rooms in downtown Danville. It's located at 20 East North Street, east of the pub and across the street from Flea Pickers USA. Dudich said he started creating escape rooms about 2 years ago through the Westville Public Library. He enjoyed doing them himself, too. It kind of grew from there, he said. Dudich also would have escape rooms at some downtown events in the Liftoff Danville space. The mobile adventures were offered for businesses, house parties, and schools, such as for post-proms. He then decided to have a permanent location. Anderson, his partner and girlfriend, is good at crafting and building too, puzzle building and building the experiences. Dudich describes an escape room as a murder mystery party people might go to. It's a real-world interactive adventure designed for a group of 2 to 8 people to work together to complete within 60 minutes. Escape rooms feature various puzzles and tasks to solve in order to complete a story. Groups will search for secret items and clues as they progress through the room. Clues can be given to groups if they want them, Dudich said, adding that some people are adamantly against receiving any help. Anderson and Dudich started working on the space, which has been vacant a couple of years last year. They had help from family and friends in getting the location ready. Entering the business, it has an arcade 1980s vibe to it. The wall to the left of the front counter currently has toys and other collectibles lined on the shelves. Adventure Arcade Escape Room's first adventure is Escape from the 80s. In this adventure, your group is sent back to a teenager's bedroom in the 1980s. After being grounded, you must discover how to escape to meet up with your friends for the concert of the century. The room is filled with nostalgia, including video games and a pinball machine. Dudich said this escape room could be a good one to try for someone's first escape room experience. They plan to have a second escape room and swap out the themes after a while. Dudich said they are sanitizing and following COVID-19 guidelines. Anderson, who works around the corner at Enlightening Screenprint, said they wanted to be a part of downtown Danville due to the small business and artistic atmosphere and its walkability. "We want to be part of the revitalization," Anderson said. She said downtown is growing with new businesses and becoming vibrant again with the Fisher Theater, Laney's Ice Cream Shop, Lima Bean Glassworks and Gifts set to open soon, and the other existing businesses. "There's more and more activities to do for local residents and visitors," she added. They also plan on being part of area festivals and events. Dudich, in addition to Anderson, has lived in this area all his life. He works at WITY radio station. Adventure Arcade Escape Rooms is open by appointment with approximate hours of 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and noon to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Appointments can be booked online at AdventureArcadeEscaperooms.com. Tickets are $25 per person, and an adventure lasts around an hour. For more information, contact Adventure Arcade Escape Rooms at 217-918-0303. Next, we have a story from Capital News, Illinois, entitled, "U of I Receives OK for Saliva-Based Test." And this story is by Grace Barwick. The University of Illinois system received emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Monday for its saliva-based COVID-19 test as the statewide 7-day rolling positivity rate reached 2.4%. The FDA approval allows for the COVID Shield test to expand beyond the U of I system. The saliva-based COVID-19 test has been administered more than 1.5 million times at universities in Urbana-Champaign, Chicago, and Springfield since it launched in 2020, according to a news release. Governor J.B. Pritzker says he will be dedicating $20 million in federal CARES Act funding to provide 1 million of the saliva-based tests to Illinois' 12 public universities and 48 community colleges. According to Pritzker, widespread testing remains critical to combating the ongoing pandemic. An agreement between the Illinois Department of Public Health and the U of I system allows for federal funds to be put toward providing the tests. "My administration has been proud to work hand-in-hand with U of I since the earliest days of this development, which has had an enormously positive effect on keeping COVID-19 at bay in the U of I system, and we're wasting no time in developing and deploying this technology throughout the state," Pritzker said in a news release. The testing process was developed by a team of researchers at UIUC. The samples are tested at a COVID Shield lab, and individuals receive results within 24 hours. The test uses a genetic material contained in SARS-CoV-2 virus to determine if the virus is present or not in the saliva. The University of Illinois has been a national leader in innovation for decades, and the campus's groundbreaking work to develop rapid saliva-based COVID-19 testing is but the latest example of that tradition, Pritzker said. This comes as the FDA also granted emergency use authorization to a third COVID-19 vaccine developed by Johnson & Johnson over the weekend. Vaccine distribution centers could start to see the new single-dose vaccine as early as Tuesday, USA Today reports. White House officials announced 3.9 million doses could be expected by Tuesday, and a total of 20 million doses could be sent to states throughout the remainder of the month. Illinois has received more than 3 million doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines as of Monday. A total of 2.7 million doses have been delivered to providers in the state, with an additional 443,700 doses allocated to the federal government's Pharmacy Partnership Program for long-term care facilities. On Sunday, 50,897 doses of the vaccine were administered in a single day. A total of 2.7 million vaccines have been administered across the state, including 319,393 for long-term care facilities as of Sunday night. About 6.5% of the state's population has received two doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. The 7-day rolling average of vaccines administered daily is 77,876 doses. The statewide 7-day rolling positivity rate reached 2.4%, a rate not seen since June 23rd. IDPH reported 1,143 new confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19 Monday, of 42,234 test results reported, including 20 additional deaths. As of Sunday night, 1,288 COVID-19 patients were reported to be hospitalized. Of those, 308 patients were in intensive care unit beds, and 148 were reported to be on ventilators. IDPH is currently reporting a total of 1,187,839 cases of more than 18 million total test results reported, including 20,536 total virus-related deaths since the pandemic started. And our last front page item today in the commercial news is titled, New COVID-19 Cases Slowing in County. And this is a staff report. Danville. COVID-19 cases in Vermilion County continue to be on the decline, mirroring what is happening around Illinois and in other portions of the country. Health officials reported 31 new cases in Vermilion County Friday evening, 4 residents in their 70s, 6 in their 60s, 6 in their 50s, 5 in their 40s, 3 in their 30s, 2 in their 20s, and 5 teens. That brings the total since the pandemic began a year ago to 8,467. There are currently 285 active COVID-19 cases in the county. The county's death toll remains at 103. There are currently 8 county residents with hospitalized COVID-19 cases. The state mobile COVID testing team will be at the Vermilion County Health Department on Wednesday. The next COVID-19 vaccination clinic is Thursday at the Fisher Theater in downtown Danville. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, March 2nd. And the first today is for Mary Berlin Russell. Mary Berlin Russell, 88, of Danville, passed away on March 1st, 2021, at Accolade Healthcare of Danville. A celebration of life service will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, March 4th, 2021, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville at 3940 North Vermilion Street. Officiating will be Pastor James Blue. Burial will be in the Danville National Cemetery, and visitation will be held just prior to the service from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Shirley Thompson. Shirley M. Thompson passed away February 24th, 2021, at Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, South Carolina. A funeral service in honor of Shirley will be held on Thursday, March 4th, 2021, at 2 o'clock p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion in Danville. A visitation will be held prior to the service from 12 o'clock noon to 2 o'clock p.m., also at the funeral home on Thursday. Memorial contributions may be made to the American Cancer Society in Shirley's name in honor of her son, Mike. Arliss Kennett. Wednesday, February 24th at 10:06 a.m., Arliss Kennett, passively peaced of Alzheimer's at Heritage Health in Hubston. A private graveside service will be held at Rossville Cemetery, with military rites being accorded by the Hubston American Legion Post 384. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in Arliss Kennett's name to Heritage Health in Hubston, care of Activity Department, or the Veterans Administration in Danville, care of Alzheimer's Unit. Kathleen Klusner. Kathleen R. Klusner, 77, of Ridge Farm, formerly of Arcola and Arthur, passed from this world at 2:40 a.m. Saturday, February 27th, 2021, at the home of her son near Arcola. Visitation will be 1 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, March 2nd, at the Zion United Church of Christ in rural Arthur. Funeral services will follow at 2 o'clock p.m. with burial at the Zion United Church of Christ Cemetery. Schrader Funeral Home is assisting the family with services. Memorials are suggested to Zion United Church of Christ. Janet Winchester. Janet Sue Cox Winchester, 70, of Danville, passed away peacefully on February 18, 2021, at OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center. Please come join Janet's family to celebrate her life on Sunday, March 7th, from 3 o'clock on, at Sargis Banquet Hall on East Main Street in Danville, Illinois. The family would like to send special thanks to all the fourth floor nurses at OSF Medical Center and also Dr. LeBayog and staff at the Danville Cancer Center. Doris Anna Wellman Balchuk. Doris Anna Wellman Balchuk, 74, of Westville, passed away on Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, at Passavant Memorial Area Hospital in Jacksonville, Illinois. A celebration of life will be held at 1 p.m. on Friday, March 5th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville, Illinois, at 414 South State Street. Pastor David Roberts Mosser will officiate. A visitation will be held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, prior to the service at the funeral home. Burial will follow at Sandusky Cemetery. Memorial donations may be given in her name to Trinity United Church of Christ, 311 Moses Avenue, Westville, Illinois, 61883. Gerald L. Jackson. Gerald L. Jackson of Bismarck, Illinois, passed away on March 1st, 2021, at the young age of 70. Per his request, he will be cremated at Blurton Funeral Home in Hubston, Illinois, and there will be no services. The family will hold a celebration of life at a later date. Condolences can be sent to P.O. Box 211, Bismarck, Illinois, and donations in Gerald's name can be made to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Alfred Owen Bedard. Alfred Fred Owen Bedard was born September 5, 1943, in Danville, Illinois, a son of the late Owen Everett and Carolyn Louise Nizilko Bedard. A private service for the family will be held and burial will follow at Resurrection Catholic Cemetery in Danville, Illinois. Lester W. Cudney, Sr. Lester William Cudney, Sr., 80, of Danville, passed away at OSF St. Elizabeth Hospital in Ottawa, Illinois, on Saturday, February 27, 2021. A celebration of Lester's life will be at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, March 2nd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville, Illinois, at 414 South State Street. Officiating the service will be Kenyon Coleman, John Knockmoose, and Jeff Thayer also will be officiating. Visitation will be held at the funeral home Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021, from 1 to 3 p.m. Barbara Young. Barbara A. Young, 89, of Sun Lakes, Arizona, passed away of cardiac arrest on February 21, 2021. Barbara was laid to rest at Resurrection Catholic Cemetery in Danville, Illinois. Memorial contributions may be made in her name to www.animalleague.org, Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville assisted the family in arrangements. Betty Lithgow. Betty E. Lithgow, 83, of Hoopston, died at 1:50 p.m. Friday, February 26th, at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Care in Hoopston. Burial will be in Floral Hill Cemetery, Hoopston. Cremation rites will be accorded. A graveside service will be at 11 a.m. May 14th. Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main in Hoopston is in charge of the arrangements. And that's the end of the obituaries for today, Tuesday, March 2nd. And we're going to return to some other stories from the commercial news. This next story is titled, Board Discusses Game Not Broadcast. And this is by Carol Hicks. Hoopston. The Hoopston School Board discussed the problem with the middle school sporting event that was not shown last week. The school board announced the middle school and John Greer Gym playoffs would be streamed live by NFHS Network. It did not happen. Only the John Greer game was shown and not the middle school game. Pixelot Sports cameras were set up to start both games, but only one game was shown. For some reason, when there's a game in the middle school gym, they can't get that camera to work, said Superintendent Robert Richardson. Fans signed into the network expecting the game to be played and got nothing. Instead, they saw the John Greer game play. Working with the NFHS network to solve the problem had not been easy. You can't call or email, Richardson said. Richardson said he did receive a call that stated, "We had a game tonight that you guys messed up," by the company representative. And Richardson told the company to make it work or the school board would not pay for it. I think they put in too many too fast and didn't have the manpower to back it up, Richardson said. A question was asked if the streaming system was needed since parents are able to attend home games to watch their athletes play, but the question was not answered. In other business, a reconstruction date had been scheduled with Reliable Mechanical of Champaign for installing air conditioning at Maple and John Greer schools, but had been canceled. It should be rescheduled for a later date. The board approved spending $20,518.99 for Reliable to repair the Maple roller, and the company installed the new boiler. The company was also asked to troubleshoot and fix the John Greer boiler after 3 weeks of flowless operation. The boiler was off on Thursday morning to be fixed. Homecoming will be April 5th through the 9th, and we'll have the usual dress-up day and decorated hallways, said Principal John Klaber. The high school will also be targeted for the Hall of Fame with photos of successful files from 2000 to 2020 classes. Richardson thanked Gibson area, Carl, Hoopston, and Vermilion County Health Department for their effort for giving second COVID-19 vaccinations to teachers. If you got a shot, raise your arm as high as you can. The Joint Committee on Administrative Rules voted to approve the Culturally Responsive Teacher Teaching and Leading Standards, which will change laws on how and what students are taught. The change was also approved by the Illinois State Board of Education in December. Next, we have a staff report. This one is titled, Police, Plan Before You Party. Danville. With St. Patrick's Day just around the corner, the Danville Police Department is reminding motorists to plan ahead for a sober ride home to keep celebrations from turning deadly. We understand people are looking for a reason to celebrate, but we urge you to do so safely, said Commander Terry McCord. While festivities may look different this year, the basics remain the same. If you'll be drinking or using cannabis or another impairing substance, make the right choice to find a sober driver to get you and your friends home safely. In addition to patrolling for alcohol and drug-impaired drivers, the Danville Police Department will be stepping up seatbelt enforcement, particularly at night when seatbelt usage rates are lowest. Speed limits and distracted driving laws will also be strictly enforced. Designating a sober driver and not letting friends drive impaired are two simple steps to help avoid a tragic crash or an arrest for driving under the influence. Other important tips are, if you do not have a designated driver, ask a sober friend for a ride home, call a cab, sober friend or family member to pick you up or stay where you are and sleep it off until you are sober. Buckle up, it's your best defense in the event of a crash. Remember that pedestrians are at risk too. If you are walking, keep an eye out for cars. If you're driving, remain alert for impaired walkers who may not obey street signs. The St. Patrick's Day Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign is funded by federal traffic safety funds from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and is administered through the Illinois Department of Transportation. And turning to the community briefs for today, for Danville, we have Kiwanis Host Day of Giving. Danville Noon Kiwanis will host a Day of Giving on Thursday, March 4th at the Danville First Church of Nazarene. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. and the program will begin at 6 p.m. Fall Pancake Week was a success, and so Noon Kiwanis will be giving more than $20,000 to local organizations. Day of Giving will be honoring the recipients, volunteers, ticket purchasers, sponsors, and the wonderful folks at the Vermilion County McDonald's who made this event possible this year. And the Vermilion County committee meetings have been canceled. Tax and elections today, and the technology meeting for Thursday, March 4th, 2021. Hoopston, send cards for 90th. Claribel Siddons will be celebrating her 90th birthday on March 25th. Please send cards to Claribel Siddons, Heritage Health, 423 North Dixie Highway in Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you today, and I hope you have a safe and wonderful March day. Take care.